Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I am Jim Galante. I'm with Greg Pickle, and it's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. And what I'd like to do in this segment, Greg, is look at the different possibilities for the 2020 season. Neither one of us are experts. We're not going to make our prediction of which way it's going to end up being. But I just want to take a look at the different possibilities. Before we get started, there's been a lot of talk about the upcoming season based on some quotes that we've heard from some of the big names in college football. I know about a week ago, Kirk Herbstreit did his, "I don't think there will be a 2020 football season, college or NFL. And then just the other day, we had Chris Fowler giving his informed speculation. And I know you wanted to react to that quote.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, Jim, obviously the phrase informed speculation is probably a new one for many people's lexicons of phrases. And, you know, look, I get it. Everyone's trying to figure out what's going to happen next. Nobody knows what's going to happen next. That's kind of the big problem here at the moment. So everyone's kind of just crossing their fingers and hoping that we have some kind of answer about this pandemic, about the future sooner rather than later. And so, yeah, Fowler comes out and says, well, informed speculation that tells me that, you know, we could have a spring football season. And it's like, well, no kidding, we kind of always assume that informed or uninformed speculation since spring practices were canceled and classes were moved online and all that stuff. So I don't know, Jim, I don't know about you, I'm kind of at the point at right now where it's just, you know, we'll wait and see how it all plays out. And when the experts and health people and scientists and what have you say that we're all good to go again, that's when we'll be good to go again. You know, I think at first, at least personally, and this is going to dovetail a little bit from what we were going to talk about, but I think many of us were trying to look for any sign we could get that, you know, these shutdowns and all this stuff, staying away from each other and things like that would be, you know, when is the target for this? When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? And Jim, I've kind of just resigned myself at this point to just looking more at it like, okay, how can we push ahead each day and do the things that we want to get done? You know, with everything that's going on, knowing that there's going to be a time when we can get back together again, but not knowing when, it just seems more stressful and disappointing to continuously want to wait for that date as opposed to just going about it day by day and waiting to see how it shakes out. So my point in bringing that up is just that I think that's how Penn State's players and many people across college football are looking at it, in the sense that obviously, obviously we want a college football season. We want everyone to be healthy, happy, and safe. And we don't know at this point if that means they're going to play in September or October or next March or April. It's just too hard to say. It's too early to tell. But, you know, if that ends up being the case, here's what I know, is that everyone in this sport, everyone in the pro football world, the college football world, the athletic world in general is going to do whatever they can to get back on the field as soon as they possibly can. So we're going to get football at some point, Jim. We don't know when, but we're going to get it. I'm confident about that.
Yeah. And the issue I always have is when Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit, they talk about college football, you look at them as the authority. But what you got to remember is they're authorities on college football. They're not authorities on pandemics. And just to, you know, throw something into the mix here, I believe it was last week when Major League Baseball came out with their thought about perhaps starting the season in Arizona. And one of these medical talking heads that was on TV, she tried to talk about that. She had no clue at all as to what was going on. None. And all, my point only being, her expertise was not Major League Baseball. Kirk Herbstreit, Chris Fowler, their expertise is not pandemics. So listen to the experts, not the sports guy, for your medical news. But anyway, let's get into, though, some of the specifics, some of the possibilities. Essentially, the season starts on time. It starts late, or it gets pushed back to the spring, or not at all. So let's start, Greg, with the possibility of it starting on time. What would it take? how much time do the teams need for this to be, for the season to go off on time?
Yeah, so, you know, Jaywon Sider, who of course spoke earlier this week, kind of echoed Sandy Barber in saying that a month, 2 months would be about what would be expected, 30 to 60 days to get the guys ready again. I mean, I think he made a fair point, Jim, in saying that, you know, unlike maybe years ago, these guys are training year round. So I think the fact that that's the case, even though they're not on campus, they're all doing what they can from their home. So, you know, I think that should probably help speed things up once they get back to campus. But, you know, you have to do it safely and you have to do it in a smart way. And most importantly, above all else, Jim, you have to do it in a uniform way so that, let's just say Alabama or Clemson or USC is not getting a bigger advantage than Penn State is, and vice versa, by starting early or whatever. So, you know, that's the biggest thing to me. But I think it's pretty clear right now that every expert has said that to get us back to anything, that, you know, they talk a lot about mass testing and what kind of testing we'll need, how it's available, when it's available, how long the results take. And we just don't have those answers right now. But in terms of the actual football related stuff, which we are able to maybe answer a little bit, it seems like, you know, 30 to 60 days is about right. And I think there were a lot of people out there, Jim, who kind of jumped on Sandy Barber when she said that. And she probably could have said it a little bit better. But I think her point was not, I think that if your takeaway was that they're going to need 60 days of on-field work in the weight room to get ready, I don't really think that's what she was trying to say. I could be wrong, but I interpreted it more along the lines of, you know, they're going to need that time to get everything ready. I mean, think about it. They're going to have to get, and this is, I know it's a little bit off the beaten path, but it's all the little stuff that when you go to a game and tailgate for hours, you don't really think about. It's how are you going to get the kids back there, especially if air travel is still impacted by the time all of this starts? You know, how are you going to get all of your student helpers and your student athletes back? And the guys who are, you know, the student interns and things like that, they do a lot of work that many people aren't aware of, especially at practice. How do you get them all back? What do you do with the housing situation? You know, is it going to be okay to have two guys to a dorm, or is everyone going to need their own room? And how are you going to manage that? I mean, there's so many logistical things that are going to have to be accomplished. It, to me, I took Sandy Barber's remarks about needing 60 days more about you're going to need 60 days to accomplish all this stuff. It's not necessarily 60 days of weight room work and practice. That might be a little bit extreme, but you might need 2 full months to get all of the pieces moving in the right direction when it comes time to, you know, to get things rolling again. And when we have a target date in mind for that, there's just a lot of things that are going to have to be put into place that won't happen overnight.
And another part of this, Greg, is, and I think James Franklin alluded to this, if you'd said because there was no spring practice, will we give the teams additional practices in the fall? But if you do that, do you do it for everybody? Because there were some teams who did have spring practices. So would they in some way try to even things up, or would they treat every team the same? That might be something interesting to look at there too. The other aspect of it with the season, if they do play in the fall, the couple possibilities that are out there was, one, do you shorten the season? And the logical thing would be maybe cut out the out-of-conference games, just play conference games, which brings up the question of 8 games in some conferences versus 9 in others. The other question being, would they play in an empty stadium? How would you address those two issues, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with Sandy Barber said at first, and she probably didn't get enough nationwide credit. Gene Smith was able to take a lot of that at the end of last week. But I think that, look, if it's not safe to have students back on campus, then, you know, I don't understand how it can be safe to have games, period, or have the football team back on campus. Now, the one question I do wonder about, and no one's really broached it, but if we do have, you know, so let's say we do have students back on campus and we do have everyone back learning on campus, but we still think it's maybe not the best idea to have fans. Would that be something people would consider? I just don't know at this point. The more you listen to people talk, the less likely that seems to be. But look, at this point, especially at the college level, you know, they're going to have to really play the risk reward game, because again, unless they turn these guys into employees, they're not that. And I think that's a major challenge that college football faces that the NFL and other pro leagues will not have to deal with. But I have a hard time seeing games happening at the college level without fans in the stands. I can see that in the pros for sure. So we'll just have to see how all that plays out. But ultimately, it comes down to how long will, you know, it take to get to a point where, you know, we can even go out to a liquor store again, or we can go out to the bar again, because I don't think college football or any sports are going to start, maybe just pro sports, but I don't think college sports are going to start back up before most states allow people to go out to some of the places they currently can't. So that's another factor to watch in all of this as well. But you know, as well as I do, Jim, that this is such a big business and money talks. And at some point, I do think we'll reach a point where the financial losses and the economic challenges become so great that maybe some places will take chances to get back on the field. We'll just have to wait and see how it all plays out.
I find it fascinating when you started to bring up the two examples you brought up first was going to a liquor store and a bar. But
I miss them both dearly, Jim.
I'm not going to read too much into that. Would it also now? We do have to remember there was a point in the spring where they were ready to play the NCAA basketball tournament in empty stadiums. So it's not like they're unwilling to do that. But I also think we're hearing a lot about playing the season in the spring. And I don't think that's a coincidence. You're hearing more and more folks talk about it. I believe college football, they're planting those seeds. And I believe, and again, as you said, Greg, money talks. Would rather, this is them, their thinking, I believe, I'd rather have a football game in the spring in a full stadium than in the fall with an empty stadium.
What yeah, and I can certainly understand that logic, Jim, and why people are looking at it that way. The one question I guess I just can't wrap my head around at this point is, you know, at what point, does, you know, that decision have to be made by, you know, and the one we mentioned it a second ago, but let's say they get rid of, the non-conference games, Jim, that's going to crush all the bye schools like the Kent States of the world and, the San Jose States and all these other little schools that rely on getting paid by colleges like Penn State to continue their season. So that's another aspect of this as well that's going to pose a major challenge. But I don't know. I mean, I guess the question I don't have an answer to that I would like an answer to, Jim, is how much money can they make if no fans are at the game and everyone's at home watching TV? How much ad money can they make off of that? Or is the economic challenges for the ad buyer so great that maybe that's not as good of an idea as it seems like from afar? That's just, there's so many questions to be answered and nobody has all the answers. And that's what's going to make this more challenging than anything else.
Well, I think the thing that gets overlooked is money will be a factor in these decisions. It always is. All right, Greg, quarter number four is coming up. We're going to ask Greg.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma or the crisp, clean finish that all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.
The sports world has been put on hold, including the Blue-White Spring Game. This is as disappointing at GoPSURV.com as it is to all of you. If you made GoPSURV reservations for the spring game, contact Mark at 800-519-8467. And for those who've entered the free RV raffle through the KSN app, GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for their first regular season game. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that raffle. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.